is click on that link. You go to the email. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You were president before you were the ED, is that what you just told us? Okay.
Yes, I had the whole 2 days of being a media past president before this happened.
Right. Okay, I just started recording. So who's next? Who wants to go next? I'll call on you then. Okay, Jane, Albany.
Sure. Thanks. So as I mentioned, I started in August of last year. The organization, and it's the JFS in Northeastern New York, part of the whole capital region and extended capital region of New York State. Before they came to JFS,
you're freezing on us.
Association for 5 years.
Your bandwidth is not good somehow. No. We can't hear you. So text, put in the chat box what's going on and I'll read it out loud, or we all can. Okay. Who else hasn't been on this call? Jessica.
So I have been in my position for 7 months. I'm glad to see, I think, all of us from North Carolina are on this call, it looks like.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
I started at JFS in July. I took over for our founding executive director. I have done a lot of nonprofit work, including starting my career in Asheville at the JCC here. And I'm actually on the board there right now, just another couple of months and then I'll be off. But I've also worked at a Christian ministry here in town, and that was interesting. And for a rape crisis center, and now I'm here at JFS and thrilled to be here.
Wow, you have a lot of connections in the community, it sounds.
Yeah, my husband's the executive director of the symphony here, so there's a lot of overlap between
the power couple and Ashley.
Yeah, right.
She's the one to know. Okay, so Sean, you're also new to your position. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Sean Drew with JFS in Orange County, New York. Been the executive director now since August 1st. Spent 25 years in nonprofit work in the local community and beyond, and still travel the country teaching on various topics related to mental health and suicide prevention. So,
great. Okay. And then Catherine is not new to her job, but new to this call. So,
yes. Yeah. So I've been in my role here as executive director in Long Beach, California, for it'll be 7 years in May. I have worked in the nonprofit field both here and in Massachusetts for the last 20 years or so. So very excited to be on the call.
A lot of experience.
A lot of experience.
On this call. Did I miss anyone who hasn't been on the call before?
Yes, this is Jan Beeston from Jewish Family Services in Edmonton. I've only been in my job for about 5 months and haven't been on this call before.
Terrific.
I spent most of my career in not-for-profits. I started as a librarian, then worked in community-based learning and literacy. Prior to this, I was the executive director of Volunteer Alberta, which is a provincial organization, new to Jewish Family Services and certainly new to the network. So I appreciate the ability to join these calls.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. We can't really see you. Your camera's facing up to the wall or the ceiling.
No, I don't actually have a camera. I joined by computer and then phoned in. So, I'll bring my laptop so I have a computer and camera next time.
Okay, terrific. So, great. I'm so glad to see everyone on the call. We got a big discussion. Oh, Jane. She's not sure
why
I can't hear her.
One second. I just have to handle one thing.
Okay.
A small agency, you guys all understand we have to do multiple things.
Came to JFS in August. They had a part-time interim executive for 3 years prior. So now she's at JFS after 15 plus years in the nonprofit world, most recently from the Alzheimer's Association. So thank you. Welcome. I don't know why your Wi-Fi is not working. So here we are. Everyone is interested in this topic about security, right? That's what we said we were going to be talking about. How agencies are reacting to all the increased concern based on events around the country. So what are you guys doing? How are you addressing it with staff, with clients, with volunteers? Is security changing? You know, we really want this to be an open discussion, learn from each other.
There were only two people.
If anyone has any today and thoughts, start talking.
Lisa, is there anybody else on from Pennsylvania?
I don't think so.
Me.
Just you.
Okay, because our governor, Tom Wolf, just signed legislation that will provide $5 million in enhanced security for faith-based organizations throughout Pennsylvania. It's a $5 million pot of money.
A lot of money.
The applications are due February 14th, I believe. So I am actually having a assessment being done by Homeland Security this Wednesday. It's not a full-blown assessment. We've confirmed that is not necessary for the state application. So it's going to be about a two-hour walkthrough, and then we will prioritize what we want to do. We can apply. We have to apply for a minimum of 5,000. We can apply up to 25,000 without a match. So we have a relatively short list of items we're considering, but I'm hoping the assessment through Homeland Security will allow us to prioritize those items and stay under the $25,000 cap.
What are some of the items that you're looking at, to do?
Well, we're looking at, first of all, our alarm system is still analog. So we're looking at enhancing that, upgrading that, so it's digital and runs through our internet, through our computer.
You mean like a ring, something like Ring, where it comes on your phone if someone's walking by? Is that what you mean?
Well, you'll be able to control the alarm through mobile phones. So our staff will have much more flexibility in programming and not have to rely on the vendor. But it's the keypad that's at our front entrance. And right now it's analog. It works through the phone system. An analog phone system, and we want to ensure that it's connected to our internet. So that's one item. We're looking at tinted glass for all our outside windows, because unless the blinds are down, you can essentially see right in. We're not sure if we're going to go with cameras, but we do need sensors outside the building with lights that will go on. I'm trying to think what else is on that list. We're looking at maybe doing something with fobs that would allow people to enter our back hallway without using a key. And also enter our front entrance without punching in a code on the keypad.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a number of things.
So I'm wondering about other people and other agencies, if they have this new digital security or if they're still analog or what they're thinking about.
In Ohio, they also have a House bill that was passed last fall that we, for security funds, two types of grants, physical security updates, target hardening, and personnel that were open to nonprofit organizations, faith-based and other nonprofit. And we're part of an integrated federation. So it's the federation itself that has applied. In the past, things were done like redoing our parking lot so that it's a single point of entry, for the building, closing off the entry that used to be used for the preschool down below. We have the ballistic film on our glass, that's all ground level. And we put in grants for target hardening back in November, primarily because our federation had analog security and for a couple other things. And we should be hearing in February whether or not that was approved. But several million dollars were set aside for that for Ohio.
Wow. And so you have
Indianapolis and Lisa, here in Indianapolis, we're also like Dayton as an integrated federation, and we're all on one campus. So the federation, the JCC, our long-term care facility, education department, and JFS are all on one campus. The federation has also applied for lots of federal funds and are also in the process and representative. I'm assuming most, do you guys all get the scan reports, the SCAN?
Does everyone get the scan reports? Not if you do. Oh. And if you don't, ask Lori.
They're going to be bringing on a scan employee as a joint employee from scan and the Indianapolis Federation on our campus to kind of oversee all the security. And we've already switched. Even for us who are, we're in a residential house right in front of our campus, but we have key fobs, we have a, you know, the alarm keypad, we have outdoor lighting now, we're all on walkie-talkies to communicate from building to building if there is a concern.
Hold on for a second, that walkie-talkie is really important because if the internet goes down and you can't use phones, walkie-talkies always work, and I've heard that a lot of agencies are getting them for their keys. Yeah,
and
staff.
it's relatively easy, and there's you know you can change channels so that if custodial or housekeeping needs to do something, you can be on a different channel. But the main channel is if there's an emergency, if there's a reason to be on lockdown, there was a shooting around the corner, or a who knows what. The summer that, there were the bomb threats going on, excuse me, Indianapolis did have a situation where we were part of that and had to lock down the campus, evacuate the campus, and we all have routes that each organization knows where their safe space is to go if that happens. And we also have sheriffs on the campus that patrol anytime, during business, normal business hours. And if we have, clients that our staff are concerned about or a situation, we have, the security will come over to the building if needed. I think sometimes people don't think about that when they think about security. They think more about, a bomb threat or, a shooter or something like that. But oftentimes our clients can be volatile, as we all know. And so we've had to build some of that in as well.
Yeah, we've had to do the same.
So Cincinnati's lucky we have a director of security that the Federation hired, and it's to support all the agencies and Jewish agencies and synagogues in the community, and it's an ex-FBI person. It was about 3 years ago was hired. So they've gone around to all the agencies and synagogues and kind of helped us, looked at where the vulnerability is. Like, we have cameras now in our office space. We're not on the main campus. We're in an office building. We had glass front doors. Now we have it's bulletproof, like shielding they put on the front recently. So if somebody shoots at it, it won't go through, and it would be very hard for them to kick in. They've implemented like a call system that each agency would be one, but if there's something that's happening in the community, calls and texts would go out to the people who are defined in each agency to let them know. And then they hired a technology person recently, and their job is to monitor all the social media, because a lot of times you start hearing things or things come across the social media. And if there's anything and they're working with the local police stations, there's two major kind of ones where both the agencies are located to keep them informed. And then with any event now, we have patrolling. We used to let people in. Everybody has to show IDs now to get into anything. So they continuously look at ways to keep adding more support and security measures.
Great. It's so sad to have to hear this, that this is what it's come to. I mean, I think about that a lot, and I think about the clients that come, you know, or any clients scared to come to the JFSs now and different JVSs, because it says Jewish on the, you know.
I have a question.
And, you know, people are scared because of what's going on. I don't know if that's something that people think about.
I have a question that I know Indianapolis has struggled with, and I think I've heard this from some peers also, but the kind of push me, pull you, I guess, of having to have people come in and show ID and have to go through a metal detector or whatever versus kind of the open welcoming tent kind of mentality where we want people to feel like it's a safe place and to be able to come and just show up in our buildings, but yet also the need, like Lisa said, where we also have to be realistic of what's happening in our world.
Right. So Limor was going to say something. Oh, I thought you were. Okay. Does anyone have any thoughts about this or what's going on in their agencies or how they're...
I think it's inevitable we have to do that. I mean, you know, we just did our community study that just was rolled out a week or so ago. And actually what came out of the community study was people said they were kind of afraid to come to services. They were afraid to come to events. So this actually, I think, in some cases helps alleviate concerns people have, knowing that, yeah, it's not nice to see a security guy standing at the door or them checking IDs, but, you know, the alternative and potential risk, it helps, I think, in their mind, know that they're feel better about coming to.
So it might be more reassuring for people to feel that they know that there's these steps that have been put in place.
I don't really agree with that because
Hold on.
Is that okay?
Okay. Dawn, that was you. I muted you. Okay.
I was going to say that we had the Homeland Security Study recently. I'm not sure. We're part of our federation, so I know the federation has that report, and we're going to be discussing it. We've had alarm doors. You have to be buzzed in. I think that has to be updated. We're putting lighting in the parking lots. But I really wanted to comment about the security guards. Both of our Reform Synagogue and our Conservative Synagogue here have had armed guards for quite some time, and it's become much more common now. Our day school had a huge number of interventions done, a whole front built on changing the glass, making it bulletproof. But I constantly hear people thanking the security guards when they walk in for being there. They're not intimidated by them, and I don't think that, I think everybody knows the state of the world, and I do think people feel really reassured. We have started having armed guards at all events at the Federation now, and by extension for JFS as well. And it is a little disconcerting, you know, like the first event I did a few months ago where I had an armed guard with me, it's just a funny feeling, but I am constantly hearing people say thank you. So I think it makes people a lot more comfortable. And I do find it, you know, ironic. We're trying to create safe spaces. Safe spaces didn't used to mean what it means, but it's a little bit, you know, ironic that our mission, you know, at JFS is to create safe spaces for people. Now we have to do it with all of these kinds of this new hardware.
And armed guards.
It is a sad world. But I think it's very interesting, the communities that have actually been able to hire somebody to help them. I think that's wonderful, because part of the learning curve here, I think, is learning about all the interventions that you can do, all the things that are out there and that are possible. And we've also found that the SCAN network, which somebody mentioned, is really, really valuable. We have a very close, we're a small community, and we're in one building with our federation, and we're off the road. Like our parking lot, we're now putting lighting and cameras in, and people are very attuned just by being watchful, you know, kind of the Israeli, you know, if you see something, say something. So that if there's a truck that's going through our parking lot, nobody recognizes it, you know, people will say things, and we've been told, and we actually do call the police now if we have any concerns about somebody loitering back there. But the SCAN network, our police have also been working with them as well, and it's
they're really good. They really give you a good heads up, and they really enable you to communicate better. So that we have both by phone, text, and email now, we can be alerted very easily about what's going on in our own community. So I really recommend plugging into that.
What about other people? Anyone thinking about it?
So we're in Charlotte. We're on a pretty large campus with almost all of the Jewish institutions, including two temples, day school, preschool, day, us, Federation. And we have a foundation that is kind of like the landlord. And we actually have security from any time that any building is open. So from early in the morning to late at night, they actually have security staff. We have actually armed police that are part of campus security. It's been an ongoing, evolving dialogue ever since the robocalls, 3 years ago. We have continuously upgraded, increased the staffing, closed off. We've restricted some of our entrances, are now restricted to only employees. General public has to walk through the front doors of the J unless you're an employee or our client, are actually our clients. We can buzz them in, and we've had cameras for years. We also have for our clinicians, back to Lori's issue in relationship to the nature of mental health therapy, all of our clinicians have emergency call buttons, panic buttons that go directly to our security. So it's just been evolving, but it's been something that we've had in place for a number of years.
Well, I'm thinking, as you all know, I was an executive director of a small agency, JFS, for 14 years. And I just know that for me, you have to take on a lot of the onus. People are scared. Staff is scared. Are any of you scared? I don't know if that's the right word, but I know that I would be anxious. I work in a Federation building right now, although it doesn't have the big sign, Federation. Everyone knows it's the Jewish building. I mean, people come up, this is the Jewish building. We don't have any glass. I'm on the first floor. We don't have bulletproof glass. I went to an emergency meeting, and the cops were there telling us what to do. And basically they said, if anyone comes in, your desk is not going to save you. Your door is not going to save you, because none of it's bulletproof. So it's like we're just living in this time, and how do you hold on to all that anxiety and make sure your staff feel okay, unless you all aren't feeling that?
So, Lisa, I think you need to keep perspective with.
I mean, I'm okay, but I'm.
Hearing what you just said is almost like a breath of fresh air. first of all, the campuses that are integrated, where Federation is right there on the campus, might have more money available to spread to all the organizations on that campus. Here in Harrisburg, that is not the case. We are actually across the parking lot from our Jewish community center, where the Federation is housed. But the only guards, armed guards, who are extremely expensive, if you have them around the clock during business hours. The only places that have armed guards are day school. And I believe there's possibly one synagogue that has an armed guard during services on Saturday morning or Friday nights, depending. Many of the other synagogues just are using, although my synagogue had an armed guard for 1 year, the cost was almost prohibitive. So we decided we were going to have congregants who stood at the door and let people in at times when there were activities in the synagogue.
I understand, but how are you all as executives, as the number ones, dealing with your own anxiety, if you have any anxiety, and then how are you helping your staff, your clients also, be okay with coming and, minimizing theirs. That's what I'm suggesting. Maybe that's not something that's relevant to you all.
Personally, I don't have a lot of anxiety. I sort of take the viewpoint of look at everything that goes right relative to the incidents that happen, and there's only so much we can do to control that. And yes, be cautious and have the training, but it's not a day-to-day anxiety for me. We did a program last year with our JCRC, again, Integrated Federation, all under one building. We do a lot of things together. The emotional toll of rising anti-Semitism. And it was a panel discussion with our JCRC director, a psychologist and a child psychologist about processing. And they, you know, I sort of lean towards their view, you know, let's look at everything that, yes, we have to be cautious and plan, but let's look at everything that goes right on a day where things don't. And so, you know, I guess that's my own personal view, making sure everything is in place that's supposed to be in place, and the vulnerability assessments and what we can afford. You know, I'm one who, at my synagogue, we do have one armed guard, but outside and inside we have greeters who are lay leaders who open the door. And there's some people say, well, we shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be here by the glass doors. And I'm like, well, then this isn't the right role for you. And that's okay. Right. You know, those of us who are okay with it can be the greeters. You know, right. It doesn't have to be the thing for everybody.
Right.
But that's my own personal viewpoint.
Well, it's good. Catherine, do you have something to say?
Yeah, this is definitely something that we've been talking about, you know, amongst our management team. Not only, we are housed in on the campus in the building with the Federation and the JCC. Federation owns the building, JCC operates the building, and we're a tenant. But we've been talking about it not only from being a Jewish organization, but just in the broader community. We provide mental health services, and you know, we're the group that people come to, and yet we may be experiencing our own anxiety as well. So we convened a mental health roundtable of other mental health providers in the community a few months ago, and the group has met 3 times now and has really found it incredibly cathartic just to have a safe space to be able to talk about their concerns. We're looking at looking for some funding to provide some training for all of the groups. So that's one, you know, positive avenue that we've been looking at, is just a place for people to be able to voice those anxieties if they feel it's safe to do so.
And is that among the executives or anyone that's interested in attending that?
So far, we've actually kept it primarily at the executives at the, not actually the executive directors, but like the directors of clinical services, kind of the key clinical people in the organization. For training, we're looking at opening that up to other, you know, to more people as well.
That sounds great. Jerry, did you have something to say?
No, sorry.
No. Well, I wonder if you get that training complete, if, I don't know if that would be something you might want to share with the network that we could put into the resource library that people could look at, because that sounds like a really nice idea to do something like that.
Happy to.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
So what about Jane, you in Albany? What's happening up there? You're new to the job.
So our building is on a main road and it's not very well marked, which everyone thought was a pretty good thing, but we're actually moving. Can you hear me now, by the way?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay. So we're potentially moving into the Federation building, but we are not yet sure what we're doing. So if we don't move into the Federation building, or part of us, we'll be moving into an office building that has lots of different offices in it that's a little bit more
nondescript.
Yeah, nondescript. So we'll be on the list of one of the many agencies in the building. We get to get into the building and go through. So it's more unlikely that someone would just come barging in. Our synagogue and many of our synagogues locally have done a lot of the same conversations that you're all saying, that, you know, armed guards for services or big events, likewise for Federation and other events. What's happened with Federation building is they've changed the doors. I do believe that the doors are now bulletproof. There's now a system where you have to be buzzed in and buzzed in again.
Double buzz.
You have to sign in. It's all very, and you, right. So you can get into the building, but you can't get into where any of the offices are until you're buzzed in, until you are actually escorted in. So the receptionist is there as the first line of defense, but other than that, you have to go through a series of doors. So, you know, that is definitely safe. We, thank God, haven't had too many scares, but there have been some, and we've had a few people who are actually, who've got some mental illness who've come through, but they were known folks who were part of our, we have a local inpatient and outpatient psychiatric center, and so there were some of those folks, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But we haven't had any too much of an issue, and honestly, I have talked to my staff about it, and they haven't expressed any kind of real concern.
All right. What about you, Lauren? Anything going on in Birmingham? You have to unmute yourself. Can you hear me?
I think Lauren's muted.
She has to unmute herself, not me.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Dawn, do you want to tell us anything about Wisconsin? Tell us what's going on. What are some of your thoughts? Oh, I muted you. I'm going to unmute you.
No, I'm using my phone. Can you hear me?
We can't hear you. Try again.
Not even my phone. Shoot.
Now I can. Now we can. Yeah. We can hear you.
Okay, so my sound system on my computer is not behaving. So we don't own our building. It's owned by the Federation, and we don't have any control at all or even get to give our preferences, which is sort of interesting in that. The Federation did apply for one of the security grants but never heard back from the federal government. Had our fingers crossed. So we have very little in the way of security in our building right now. We have double doors where you have to be buzzed in through the front door, but that's it. And the cameras don't work. So all in all, personally, I'm not super, you know, I don't need a lot. I would like more than that. Ironically, we now, JFS, rent space in the building next door. And for that, we actually did install a Ring doorbell so that our staff here can always see who's going to the offices for refugee resettlement. And in that space, we have no signs that says resettlement. There's a small sign that says Jewish Social Services on the inside of the building, and that's it. We're also in an office park that nobody can find, and there's huge focus for that, except that it's true. You do not accidentally come across our building unless you are intentionally looking for it, because it's an old office park complex without a whole lot, and it's just a little circle. And there's a lot to be said for being anonymous, and that's really what we lean on quite a bit.
So it's funny you said that, because my agency, no one could find either. And we always used to be so upset about that. You know, no one can find it. They're constantly calling you. They're getting lost. And now it's a whole different way of thinking about it.
I'll say we're the exact same way. We're in the back of a very old office park, poorly labeled. Our clients are constantly calling, asking how to get to us. But we do have to get out of this space. We don't have enough space to grow. So, you know, I'm taking notes because some of these security ideas are things that we'll have to look at. And one thing that's come up recently is we're hosting our fundraiser every year has typically been at a country club. So sort of, you know, tucked away, private, pretty much just our family there. But we're moving to a much more public venue this year, and increasing marketing, and it's going to really be out there. It's going to be basically the second largest performance space in the city, and we've been talking about, you know, what we're going to need to do for security in that space. It wasn't even a thought for our committee members, and then I told them we've got to look at security guards, yeah, we know we're going to have to move. And so one thing I will say is that our Chabad locally received $100,000 federal grant And it's such a small building that we're sort of wondering what they're going to use it all for, but they are talking about the glass on the windows and also putting up bollards.
Bollards,
the big concrete barriers out front. So they haven't started anything yet, but they're looking at all of that. We've heard reports of their rabbi walking to services on Shabbat and having things thrown at him from the road. So, you know, they have, we all have genuine security concerns, but, you know, they were able to make a case for it, a very strong case for it in their application.
They're very good at fundraising, right?
Yeah.
That's for sure. So I wonder, Jan, in Edmonton, is this something that you all are struggling with as well? You have to unmute yourself. Are you there? I don't know if people are able to do that. Do you know how to unmute? There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Good. Yes.
I looked at the grants and I actually called the Federation, and they do have a security person on staff, and he's going to come and do an assessment for us. Some of our staff are concerned. A lot of the things that you've been talking about, I keep wondering, so you're protecting your staff. How are you protecting your clients? I know in our public space, it's we have a glass partition to our receptionist, and we can lock our doors, but our clients are vulnerable because they're sitting in our waiting space. I'm not sure what to do about that. Anyway, I anticipate that I'll be learning today and learning more from the assessment to decide what to do. In other places where I've worked, where we've dealt with volatile clients, we've had panic buttons that went directly to police services, and we've had buzz-in also on the door so you could see who was there. Never bulletproof glass. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's to come, but one of my concerns right now is going to the national conference, because in at least in Canada, everybody doesn't have guns. So I worry about what happens when you go in an environment where everybody has guns.
In Texas?
So how does that make you feel? Yeah.
Well, we're thinking about it as well, NJHSA, what we're going to be doing, you know, with the conference. So I don't know what, but it's definitely come up in conversation because it is the Network of Jewish Human Service Agencies. And we're all going.
And I think it's a thing that a lot of times we don't think about, the expense that it is to add a security guard, even if it's the Ring or whatever it might be, we have to add that in whenever we're looking at a fundraiser like you're looking at, Jessica. Now you've got to add that into your
expenses.
Probably didn't have that.
So, I think that we heard today about different grants that are happening throughout the country. And I think that everyone in their own states should really look into what is available, because there is money available right now.
Oh, yeah.
Faith organizations. But Jan asked everyone a question, and I don't know if anyone has a response. And she really was talking about the clients. You know, everyone else is sealed behind their bulletproof doors potentially. But what about the clients? I don't know if people have thought about that. Right, you asked that question, Jan?
Yes, thank you.
So the clients, in terms of their level of anxiety, or in terms of any threat that irate clients might pose to the conversation.
I think she's talking about clients in the waiting room. They're the first ones who people may see, and they're not protected behind closed doors or in office spaces.
So we have not received any concerns from our clients at all. And interestingly enough, until just recently, my employees really did not seem anxious. In fact, when I would bring it up after the shooting in Pittsburgh in particular, I would bring this up and talk about how we could lock our front door. We do have a buzzer for the front door, which is visible from the front reception desk. and nobody wanted to do that. They wanted to make this an environment that people felt comfortable coming into. Now, more recently, as these events continue to spiral, the staff and hearing that there was going to be money available for the state, the staff did participate in generating that short list that I shared earlier at the beginning of the call. And they seem a little more edgy, but not terribly anxious. And the clients, there's been no concern voiced by clients at all.
Terrific. So Sean, in Orange County, what about you? You're in a very Jewish community, correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, as many other states, there are state dollars available now. That we're looking at. We currently, we're not part of the Federation and the JCC locally are about 30 minutes east of where we are. So we're in our own building. That's currently actually right now kind of split in half, and we're the only ones in it right now. But we do have a buzzer system. We do have cameras. We are looking to make some additional enhancements. The incident that occurred locally to us, it's about 40 minutes away in the next county over in Rockland County. And the gentleman that was arrested was actually from our county, where we actually provide in that community a lot of services for seniors and things. So
you're talking about the Hanukkah party shooting, correct?
Stabbing. It wasn't a shooting. It was stabbing.
Stabbing. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, I am. And so it's increased our awareness. I mean, not that we weren't before. I think like many people on the phone or on the call, it's a little unnerving as well. We've had state police out in our parking lots now, basically throughout the day, and then in the evening, making sure that staff get to their cars safely, et cetera. So it's been a little bit of closer to home, so to speak, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're doing what we can to be prudent and vigilant. I think the most unnerving thing is that when you have to go, as many people expressed here, when you have to go to an event, you know, and whether it's a fundraising event or I dropped my son off to a good friend's bar mitzvah and there was armed security even at the temple just to, you know, go inside of a, you know, event like that. And I think that's been the most unnerving part of the whole thing. So we're doing what we can to be prudent, to be vigilant, and to be safe as possible. But it's that balance of saying we're still here for the community. So if you need services, we still want you to walk through, you know, and ask. So we don't want to make it to where you're coming to some sort of fortress. You know, so it's, we're trying to create that balance, you know, as best we can.
Right.
This is Betsy in Greensboro. I have to leave the call in about a minute, but I wanted to say one thing that, you know, it's both disheartening but necessary, of course, to have these kinds of conversations. One of the things that's made me feel, I would say, less anxious and more secure is the fact that our Federation director and the president of the Federation over the last 9 months have been doing a systematic reaching out to elected officials, and elected and unelected officials in the community, meeting with the head of the police, all the members of the school board, all the members of city council, the county commissioners. They're now meeting with heads of universities in our area. And all of this is to build relationships with the wider community. I mean, it's not the, you know, the hardware stuff, but it makes me feel very good, because I think the other side of this is building strong relationships with our community leaders so that we have friends, so that some of these issues, of course, are relevant to them as well when they're meeting with other churches and pastors and things like this. Ministers, I mean, they have a lot of experience, unfortunately, and sometimes are looking to the Jewish community, who they think have a lot of good ideas about this, because we've had to come up with some of these ideas in the past. But that makes me feel very positive that the community is kind of bonding around these issues and is trying to take care of itself and each other. And
that sounds very proactive.
It's reactive. Yep.
And I think that I know in Harrisburg that kind of thing is going on. The Federation director, we've sponsored all sorts of seminars on active shooters. We've been educating the community. We've been talking through interfaith networks to a variety of churches and synagogues. I really think that in many ways, heightening that awareness is so critical.
You know, at our executive conference, not this past year, the year before, it was right after the Pittsburgh shooting, and Jordan Golan, who is the CEO of JFS of Pittsburgh, came on the phone and talked to everyone there. And the one thing that he said, I don't know, Lori, I know you were there, that I remember is exactly what Betsy just said, that in order to survive any kind of crisis, you have to know who the players are in your community and get to know them in advance so that you can call on them. Because when something like this happens, you come together and they come together with you. And I just think that's a really brilliant thing that you said, because that's what he said he learned the most after that crisis.
And I don't know if other communities have JCRCs, but I know for us, our JCRC and our Federation have really taken the lead on that ask and that, you know, kind of bringing the multi-faith community and the sheriffs and the police departments and fire and all that to kind of come to the table and be at events, and so they're there at everything now.
Great. Lauren, can you hear me, Lauren Schwartz?
I'm gonna have to hang up. Thank you so much for the call.
Bye, Betsy. Thanks for coming.
Bye, Betsy.
Lauren, are you on this call? Can you hear me? Good, because I was thinking about you and for a minute, and what, wasn't Birmingham the church that was, someone came in and shot up?
No, in the 60s, we had a bomb at a church.
It wasn't Birmingham. That was somewhere in the Carolinas, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, then, I'm sorry. I thought it was somewhere in Birmingham. Yeah, I know in the 60s. No, I'm not talking about that. I thought it was recently. So what are you doing in Birmingham? Does it come up?
Yes, we're doing many of the same things that each of you are doing. We are working with SCAN. When the bomb threats occurred a couple of years ago in 2017, we were a victim of that. And at that time, we had local law enforcement come in and do an assessment of our security. And we are not on the JCC campus. We are in an office building next door to the JCC campus. And so we're a locked office, and we have been for 30 years. So you have to be buzzed into our office. There are two entrances that are both secure. And we were deemed to be low risk. That notwithstanding, we did develop bomb threat and active shooter protocols that we do training on each year with our staff. Now that our community has brought SCAN in, we'll be doing a new assessment and determining if there are any additional needs for CJFS, but across the community. And we've also received a lot of federal grant funding in our community. Our synagogues all have live security guards. They've all put the tinted bulletproof glass up. I mean, we've done quite a bit across the community. With SCAN coming in, we'll be looking at all of that again, doing retraining. We've built really strong relationships with our local law enforcement, the FBI, as well as the local police departments. So they work very closely with us, as well as city government, and have been really wonderful to us. Our Chabad rabbi brings them challahs every Friday. just as part of community building with them. So they know who we are, they know what we're doing, they're working with us and in conjunction with SCAN to make sure that we're as prepared as we could possibly be. But we have not had anything happen since the bomb threats. And, you know, I think we're all, you know, how can you be prepared? But we're as prepared as we can be.
Sounds like your community has really worked together and is prepared. I think what you said about the local police station really getting in with them is a very good idea if you haven't, if anyone on this call hasn't done that.
Yes.
Another thing that just came up, sorry to interrupt, I just got an email from our federation and synagogues that there have been a lot of social media anti-Semitic actions or potential threats. So that's, I think, something else to be concerned about and talk about too, of what do you do when an email comes through or there a posting on your Facebook page.
Well, Joni just said something in the beginning that their agency or federation actually hired someone to look out for social media threats in the community, right? That's what you said they did, Joni? That's kind of a interesting, you know, position. Maybe that's what you asked for money for, Barry, you know, for more money.
It sounds like a lot of you, we've had a lot of communal trainings with FBI and local police, et cetera, on a variety of topics, and it sounds like a lot of other folks have as well. But getting, you know, continuing to alert.
In Dayton, there's been a lot of conversation with the broader community. After Pittsburgh happened, we had a community response, and the Muslim community and the LGBT community, everybody came out when the shooting happened at the mosque in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Our community came to the mosque here, and the Jewish community turned out and supported. And then, unfortunately, this past summer, we had the shooting at a bar in our Oregon district. And the community has really come together and have all kinds of dialogues about how to support the trauma conversation. And I'm part of a collaborative with Catholic Social Services and Grace Works Brethren and Family Services. You know, we've got all these networks going on to work together to respond and support each other, which you can be proactive. It's unfortunately we're proactively now reacting to something, but it's those conversations that'll make us stronger and be, like you said about Jordan Golan, here for each other if things happen in the future.
That's right. Before we end, does anyone have anything they want to say that we haven't talked about?
I got something from my federation director earlier today about federal nonprofit Homeland Security grants, and there's a discussion, a webinar about this grant opportunity on March 5th.
Barry, send that information to me, and I'll send it to everyone on this call.
Okay, right? Just in case people want to look into federal money. Mm-hmm.
Terrific.
That's a great idea.
Okay, I'd love that. That would be great.
We've already received that federal money and over the last 2 years in Birmingham, and we're eligible to apply again. There's actually two calls. One was last week, and so our community participated in that one. So it's not a difficult grant to receive. It's pretty easy.
It depends on how much money. I know we applied for it last year, but Ohio got $300,000 for all of its religious nonprofits. And so, you know, it was not a hard application, but when you state by state, however they do the allocation, you could be a lot of people vying for a small pot. Worth doing, but yeah.
Just to reinforce the issue around community engagement, about 4 years ago, we created kind of an ad hoc committee of representatives from the organizations on the campus, along with local law enforcement, FBI, Homeland Security representation. We met quarterly for about 2 years, and that just was extremely significant as we looked at and continued to kind of work on what security looks like for the campus and just, as an ongoing day-to-day operations. Those relationships have been significant. So it was a great process.
Terrific. Sounds wonderful. So Mary Elizabeth, we haven't heard from you. Anything you want to say before we end? Orly Moore?
I've got to leave the meeting.
I certainly want to thank everybody for contributing, and I think between everyone's experience at their JFSs as well as everybody's outside experience, whether it's a Jane at Alzheimer's or previous organizations, it makes a difference, and we can all learn from each other. I did want to bring two things up real fast, that registration is open for the annual conference in Dallas. So please think about that and get registered. And then we need to think about what topic we would like for our next call. Either send Lisa or I thoughts. I want to be respectful of everyone's time, so we won't do it here, but please let us know so that we can continue the conversations.
And I'm trying to find, our next call is on March 16th at 1 o'clock. March 16th at 1 o'clock. Okay, well, thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
I thought it was a really great call. And
if you have
questions, I'm going to send whatever Barry's going to send to me, and this will be up on our resource library. And if you have any trainings or anything that you think anyone could benefit from, please send them to me so I can put them in the library. That would be great. And
have a good week, everyone.
Have a great week.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.